Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on a new kind of loan that is helping Kenya's farmers while saving soil. And we go to an American restaurant that is serving farm fresh food. Green loans in Kenya and green food in an American restaurant. Those are our stories today on As It Is. One quarter of the 40 million people who live in Kenya are farmers, but few of them have ever been shown how to increase their crops or use loans to make their farms larger. Most of these farmers refuse to accept a loan. They have watched other farmers lose their livestock, their animals, or even their farms, when they could not repay the lender. But now, there is a new kind of lender. A company is offering green loans and teaching farmers how to protect their land. Fifty-year-old Samuel Karaoke has been farming since he left school. Every year he has struggled to grow cabbage in this mountainous area a few hours from Kenya's capital, Nairobi. But Mr. Karaoke is not struggling this year. His crop is very big, and he has added potatoes. His struggles ended because he received a loan of $90 to buy high-quality seeds and fertilizer. This is the first time he has had the money to do that. He says he's had a lot of problems, including lack of money and demand for his crops, and attacks from insects and diseases. He says he never wanted to take a loan before because he feared he could lose his farm. He says he has seen other farmers lose everything to aggressive lenders when they could not make the payments. But he has had a different experience. A new microfinance company called F3 Life gave him a loan. It offers small cash loans of as little as $20 to as much as $180. The program was designed by conservationist Mark Ellis Jones. It includes free monthly training on how to increase the amount of crops a farmer grows. Mr. Ellis Jones says the loan interest rate is lowered if a farmer works to conserve the land.
And we also provide a loan where we peg the interest rates to the quality of soil conservation that a farmer is practicing. We ask farmers to build grass strips across the contour of their slopes, which prevents the loss of topsoil from their farms.
As the loan amounts increase, farmers are asked to plant trees to keep soil from being washed away. F3 Life says that such simple measures can extend the life of the soil from about 20 years to 1,000 years. In Mr. Karaoke's area of Kenya, there are large areas of brown land where there were once productive farms. Farmland may disappear from the area in 10 years. That kind of damage could hurt Kenya's ability to feed its people. It is a worldwide problem. The world has lost one-third of its farmland over the past 50 years. Farmer Samuel Karaoke says many people in his town are talking about his cabbage. And he says many farmers now want a green loan. Mr. Karaoke says he plans to use his increased profits to buy a truck so he can sell his crops at a farmer's market. Now, because he does not have transportation, he sells his crops to others. His buyers make a large profit selling his products at the market. When he buys that truck, he will be able to keep all of the profits himself. You are listening to As It Is on the Voice of America. Restaurants called diners can be found throughout the United States. They make simple, low-cost food. But traditional diner food is often unhealthy. One group of diners is cooking healthier food for their customers, and surprisingly, they love it.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around 2 o'clock tonight. Put your bad bags up.
There are many people waiting for their meal at the Silver Diner in Waldorf, Maryland. Among them are Ashley Holt and Norman Bailey, who eat there often.
I like the food. It's fresh. It's good. I would come here more often, especially because it's a lot healthier.
Great atmosphere, quick service, and great food.
Eppa von Hengst and Bob Giammo established Silver Diner 25 years ago. The two men visited diners throughout the country to learn how their restaurant could be different. Eppa von Hengst explains.
We wanted to create an atmosphere where the new families wanted to go with the kids. And not just a great atmosphere, but also better food and cleaner food.
So they decided to offer healthier versions of traditional diner food, like pancakes, hamburgers, and meatloaf. They used less processed materials like unbleached flour. They use meat from animals that were not treated with antibiotics or hormones. Business slowed during the recession, so Chef Eppa von Hengst added more healthy food choices to try to bring people to his diners.
And we started preparing healthier, local food, fresh food, vegan, vegetarian, giving people the lifestyle and the options that they want nowadays.
The men have partnered with more than 15 local farms to supply them with food. And they discovered the farm fresh food was good for business. Chef Eppa von Hengst says selling farm fresh food is important to his business.
This is not a fad. This is here to stay. People are going to want healthier food. They're going to want better food. If you don't jump on this, you're going to be out of business.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Thank you. VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. There are many American expressions about insects, like bees, for example. Bees are known as very hard workers. They always appear to be busy, moving around in their homes or hives. So you might say you were as busy as a bee if you spent your weekend cleaning your house. In fact, you might say your house was a beehive of activity if your whole family was helping you clean. You also might say you made a beeline for something if you went there right away. When we go to see a movie, my friend always makes a beeline for the place where they sell popcorn. Here is an expression about bees that is not used much anymore, but we like it anyway. We think it was first used in the 1920s. If something was the best of its kind, you might say it was the bee's knees. Now, we admit that we do not know how this expression developed. In fact, we do not even know if bees have knees. If your friend cannot stop talking about something because she thinks it is important, you might say she has a bee in her bonnet. If someone asks you a personal question, you might say, "That is none of your beeswax." This means none of your business. Speaking of personal questions, there is an expression people sometimes use when their children ask, "Where do babies come from?" Parents who discuss sex and reproduction say this is talking about the birds and the bees. Hornets are bee-like insects that sometimes attack people. If you are really angry, you might say you are mad as a hornet. And if you stir up a hornet's nest, you create trouble or problems. Butterflies are beautiful insects, but you would not want to have butterflies in your stomach. That means to be nervous about having to do something, like speaking in front of a crowd. You would also not want to have ants in your pants. That is, to be restless and unable to sit still. Here are some expressions about plain old bugs, another word for insects. If a friend keeps asking you to do something you do not want to do, you might ask him to leave you alone or stop bugging me. A friend also might tell you again and again to do something. If so, you might say he put a bug in your ear. If you were reading a book in your warm bed on a cold winter's day, you might say you were snug as a bug in a rug. And if you wish someone good night, you might say, "Sleep tight, don't let the bedbugs bite." This VOA Special English Program was written by Shelley Gullist. I'm Faith Lapidus. You can find more words and their stories at voaspecialenglish.com. Thank you.
I'm Ray Freeman.
And I'm Shirley Griffith with People in America, a program in special English by the Voice of America. Every week we tell about someone who was important in the history of the United States. This week, we finish the story of a writer and educator, Helen Keller. She helped millions of people who, like her, were blind and deaf.
We reported last week that Helen Keller suffered from a strange sickness when she was only 19 months old. It made her completely blind and deaf. For the next 5 years, she had no way of successfully communicating with other people. Then a teacher, Annie Sullivan, arrived from Boston to help her. Miss Sullivan herself had once been blind. She tried to teach Helen to live like other people. She taught her how to use her hands as a way of speaking. Miss Sullivan took Helen out into the woods to explore nature. They also went to the circus, the theater, and even to factories. Miss Sullivan explained everything in the language she and Helen used, a language of touch, of fingers and hands. Helen also learned how to ride a horse, to swim, to row a boat, and even to climb trees. Helen Keller once wrote about these early days.
One beautiful spring morning, I was alone in my room, reading. Suddenly, a wonderful smell in the air made me get up and put out my hands. The spirit of spring seemed to be passing in my room. "What is it?" I asked. The next minute, I knew it was coming from the mimosa tree outside. I walked outside to the edge of the garden toward the tree. There it was, shaking in the warm sunshine. Its long branches, so heavy with flowers, almost touched the ground. I walked through the flowers to the tree itself, and then just stood silent. Then I put my foot on the tree and pulled myself up into it. I climbed higher and higher until I reached a little seat. Long ago, someone had put it there. I sat for a long time. Nothing in all the world was like this.
Later, Helen learned that nature could be cruel as well as beautiful. Strangely enough, she discovered this in a different kind of tree.
One day, my teacher and I were returning from a long walk. It was a fine morning, but it started to get warm and heavy. We stopped to rest two or three times. Our last stop was under a cherry tree, a short way from the house. The shade was nice, and the tree was easy to climb. Miss Sullivan climbed with me. It was so cool up in the tree, we decided to have lunch there. I promised to sit still until she went to the house for some food. Suddenly, a change came over the tree. I knew the sky was black because all the heat, which meant light to me, had died out of the air. A strange odor came up to me from the earth. I knew it. It was the odor which always comes before a thunderstorm. I felt alone, cut off from friends, high above the firm earth. I was frightened and wanted my teacher. I wanted to get down from that tree quickly. But I was no help to myself. There was a moment of terrible silence. Then a sudden and violent wind began to shake the tree, and its leaves kept coming down all around me. I almost fell. I wanted to jump, but was afraid to do so. I tried to make myself small in the tree as the branches rubbed against me. Just as I thought that both the tree and I were going to fall, a hand touched me. It was my teacher. I held her with all my strength, then shook with joy to feel the solid earth under my feet.
Miss Sullivan stayed with Helen for many years. She taught Helen how to read, how to write, and how to speak. She helped her to get ready for school and college. More than anything, Helen wanted to do what others did, and do it just as well. In time, Helen did go to college, and completed her studies with high honors. But it was a hard struggle. Few of the books she needed were written in the Braille language that the blind could read by touching pages. Miss Sullivan and others had to teach her what was in these books by forming words in her hands. The study of geometry and physics was especially difficult. Helen could only learn about squares, triangles, and other geometrical forms by making them with wires. She kept feeling the different shapes of these wires until she could see them in her mind. During her second year at college, Miss Keller wrote the story of her life and what college meant to her. This is what she wrote.
My first day at Radcliffe College was of great interest. Some powerful force inside me made me test my mind. I wanted to learn if it was as good as that of others. I learned many things at college. One thing I slowly learned was that knowledge does not just mean power, as some people say. Knowledge leads to happiness, because to have it is to know what is true and real. To know what great men of the past have thought, said, and done is to feel the heartbeat of humanity down through the ages.
All of Helen Keller's knowledge reached her mind through her sense of touch and smell, and of course her feelings. To know a flower was to touch it, feel it, and smell it. This sense of touch became greatly developed as she got older. She once said that hands speak almost as loudly as words. She said the touch of some hands frightened her. The people seemed so empty of joy that when she touched their cold fingers, it is as if she were shaking hands with a storm. She found the hands of others full of sunshine and warmth. Strangely enough, Helen Keller learned to love things she could not hear, music, for example. She did this through her sense of touch. When waves of air beat against her, she felt them. Sometimes she put her hand to a singer's throat. She often stood for hours with her hands on a piano while it was played. Once she listened to an organ. Its powerful sounds made her move her body in rhythm with the music. She also liked to go to museums. She thought she understood sculpture as well as others. Her fingers told her the true size and the feel of the material. What did Helen Keller think of herself? What did she think about the tragic loss of her sight and hearing? This is what she wrote as a young girl.
Sometimes a sense of loneliness covers me like a cold mist. I sit alone, and wait at life's shut door. Beyond, there is light and music and sweet friendship, but I may not enter. Silence sits heavy upon my soul. Then comes hope with a sweet smile and says softly, "There is joy in forgetting oneself." And so I try to make the light in others' eyes my sun, the music in others' ears my symphony, the smile on others' lips my happiness.
Helen Keller was tall and strong. When she spoke, her face looked very alive. It helped give meaning to her words. She often felt the faces of close friends when she was talking to them to discover their feelings. She and Miss Sullivan both were known for their sense of humor. They enjoyed jokes and laughing at funny things that happened to themselves or others. Helen Keller had to work hard to support herself after she finished college. She spoke to many groups around the country. She wrote several books, and she made one movie based on her life. Her main goal was to increase public interest in the difficulties of people with physical problems. The work Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan did has been written and talked about for many years. Their success showed how people can conquer great difficulties. Annie Sullivan died in 1936, blind herself. Before Miss Sullivan died, Helen wrote and said many kind things about her.
It was the genius of my teacher, her sympathy, her love, which made my first years of education so beautiful. My teacher is so near to me that I do not think of myself as apart from her. All the best of me belongs to her. Everything I am today was awakened by her loving touch.
Helen Keller died on June 1, 1968. She was 87 years old. Her message of courage and hope remains.
You have just heard the last part of the story of Helen Keller. Our special English program was written by Catherine Clark and produced by Lawan Davis. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Ray Freeman. Listen again next week to another People in America program on the Voice of America.